know, I talk to my friends who are about my age, us baby boomers, and we're getting all this stuff in the mail about signing up for Medicare, and we're having this or that, or you need this, and if you've got this much money, oh, we can help you. I know Jim Brogan tries to help everybody, and he's going to join us now. As like I said, all my buddy, we, you know, everybody talks about this and that. Oh, man, did you hear what the Federal Reserve did? Or do you know that after this age you can make as much money? You're not supposed to do this. Jim, welcome. Thanks for wading through the fog for us this morning. Appreciate you.
Good morning, Phil. It's great to be with you.
Yes, sir. Well, and here we go with all of the, gosh, I don't know, all the wonky stuff going on in the world. The Fed released notes from, what was the meeting, about 3 weeks ago. I know you keep up with that. Talk about what they said, why it's important, and let me just kind of do a two-part thing here. Talk about, you know, what the Fed is doing and why we have to pay attention to that, and how might this Delta variant affect all of this financial news, Jim?
Yeah, very important stuff there, Phil. And you know, many of you listening may have realized the stock market took a real big dip late in the day yesterday, and it was due to the Federal Reserve releasing these notes. And so the Federal Reserve met the end of July, and basically they're saying that they're planning to taper later this year. Now, what the heck does that mean? So yeah. The Fed, you know, everybody's aware of what Congress has been doing with all this massive stimulus since the pandemic. But what a lot of people may not realize is what the Fed has been doing. They've been buying bonds. They've been buying $120 billion a month of Treasury bonds and mortgage securities. And the best way to think about that, Phil, is they're basically the Fed is taking $120 billion a month and injecting cash into the economy. That's really how we should look at that. Because when they do that, that's really what all that means. That okay. cash is going into the economy. And so a lot, and they've been doing that to stimulate economic growth. And so then a lot of the discussion has been, well, when are they going to start pulling back some of that stimulus from the Federal Reserve? And so the notes were indicating, hey, we may do this later this year. And so that's why we saw the stock market take a dip. And one of the things that I've been talking about is, you know, since pandemic hit, all the spending in Washington, all the easy money policy from the Fed is like heroin to the stock market. You know, who'd have thought in late March last year that the market would come roaring back the way that it has? But then how are we going to unwind all that? So what you saw yesterday was the markets reacting to this news that the Fed may start to pull back some of that extra stimulus. Now, your second question, though, Phil, is just as important. Yeah. Is what about the Delta variant and the increase in COVID cases? Because the Fed 3 weeks ago, you know, the Delta was on the radar, but not as much as it is now. And we are starting to see a little bit of impact in economic data from the effect of the COVID, the Delta variant. Mm-hmm. So I'll be honest with you, Phil. What does this really mean? I mean, it means markets are probably going to be kind of choppy, dealing with a lot of, uncertainty. Mm-hmm. But personally, I don't think the Fed will cut back their stimulus this year because I think the economic numbers are maybe going to be a little bit impacted by the Delta variant. I don't think we're going to see the kind of shutdowns we saw last year, but we're already seeing an effect on the economic data. So it is important to understand how this affects our money.
Well, and it seems to me like our government is just spending like a bunch of drunk sailors. Here's money for this. Here's a grant for that. If you're a nonprofit, we can do this for you. So you think they're going to continue then to keep spending like that?
I would not be surprised if the way the Delta variant is growing, and we're probably going to hit a peak there pretty soon in the next few weeks, I wouldn't be surprised if the economic data changes enough to where the Fed decides to keep doing stimulus at least through the end of the year. Now, I could be wrong on that, Phil.
Right.
But
right.
I think they're going to do everything they can to keep the economy recovering and injecting cash.
Well, and I assume. I mean, I just think that at some point these interest rates have to, this is me talking, not Jim Brogan, these interest rates have to start rising. Are are these, have these low interest rates been a good thing, but will they come back to bite us later on?
Well, I think the interest rates are being kept a little artificially low by the Fed. And, you know, everybody's been concerned about inflation. Rates have come up some, a little bit, on things like a 30-year mortgage or a 5-year car loan. Yeah. But they're still historically very, very low. I'll be honest, Phil, I don't think they're coming up anytime soon, much more. If anything, I think over the next 6 to 12 months, they may actually go back down again some.
Whoa!
I do. I think with everything going on in the world, I don't think rates are going to go up really much anytime soon.
Okay. What about it? Well, what about inflation, though?
Inflation's a concern. I think we're kind of setting new levels for consumer prices. I don't think we're going to see keep seeing increases at 5% per year for consumer prices. I don't think that's likely to last a long time. But I think we're kind of resetting new prices, and I think it could slow down. The future increases could start pulling back some next year. The concern I have with inflation, Phil, is down the road because of all of this money that's been spent and printed by the Federal Reserve. As I mentioned earlier, you know, all this massive stimulus could very well lead to inflation down the line. So for an investor feel, you've got this competing thing between low interest rates, hard to make money with things like CDs and bonds, but then we've got some real inflationary concerns.
All right, now, as I said, I'm a baby boomer, and a lot of us baby boomers, a lot of my contemporaries are getting ready to retire. We're talking about it, thinking about it, and most of us are putting it off. When we come back, I want to talk about the challenges we face as baby boomers as we approach retirement age. And I know you got another class. We'll hit that when we come back. Our guest is Jim Brogan. Don't listen to your buddy. Listen to Jim. Jim Brogan is our guest. We've been talking about things about the Federal Reserve releasing their notes, the meeting notes. And I know that, well, he's one of those guys that can read between the lines on those things. And we talked about interest rates and inflation and things, and we may have set new, I don't know, thresholds for prices. Baby boomers, like I said, I'm getting the mail now every day. Jim Brogan, he's the president of Brogan Financial and just a darn nice fella. We're baby boomers. Here we come, retirement. What are some of the things we got to look out for? And challenges and pitfalls and all that, Jim?
The challenges, Phil, today are almost unprecedented. It can be done, but I think that it's important to realize that the things that have worked in the past moving forward are probably not going to work very well. And here's why I say that. Interest rates are at historic lows. And that is great for the economy because it allows people to borrow money, build houses, grow businesses, invest in growth of their business. But it's not good for the investor because interest rates are so low, so bonds, CDs, they're not paying anything. And, you know, bonds and interest rates move in an opposite direction. So if interest rates go up in the future, bonds go down in value. So the bond market is so unattractive moving forward. And when we look at the stock valuations today in the United States still are the highest they've been at any time in our history except for 1999. Now, I'm not trying to be an alarmist. They should be high because interest rates are so low, nobody wants to invest in bonds. So more and more people invest in stocks. So they should be somewhat high. But at the levels they're at, you know, it's a challenge because it's hard to see a boom over the next 8 to 10 years in the stock market. Yet interest rates are so low and we're having inflation. So what do you do? So I think a very diversified balanced portfolio is probably the best way to fight inflation over the next 7 or 8 years. The problem with stock market investing is you have a lot of short-term volatility. So you can't really depend on those investments in the short term. So the key is to secure income with things that are very, very stable in the short term, almost like splitting your money into two different buckets. You've got kind of a safe or stable bucket, and then you've got more of a growth-oriented risk bucket. And leave the risk money alone for 7 or 8 years to go through ups and downs. Mm-hmm. Have more balance and diversification so you don't have as much volatility. But then have some stability, some stable money that you can live on in those early years of retirement. And if you do those things, I still think most people can be pretty successful. But the planning that has typically worked in the past is just not going to work very well in the future.
You know, it almost sounds like, you know, the rules for business have enough operating capital to sustain you for the first couple, three, or whatever, first few years as your investments grow. Now, you're going to talk more about that, I know. You've got a little wingding. You've got a net class, or you've got a class, rather, where you discuss things. This is in person. I shouldn't have said that. This is an in-person thing at Pellissippi State. Is that correct?
Yeah, actually, it's both.
Okay.
We're doing – my next class is Thrive Financially in Retirement. It's at Pellissippi State, Hardin Valley. This Tuesday night, it's two-hour sessions. So it's the 24th and the 31st. 6:30 p.m. both nights. We're doing it live in person. But for those that are uncomfortable, we're also simulcasting online. So people can do it either way. I think the in-person's more powerful. But for those that are uncomfortable getting out, and then Pellissippi's going to have people distance and wear masks. But if you're not comfortable with that, you can attend online. PellissippiRetirementPlanning.com. has all the information. People can download a syllabus. They can click to register at PellissippiRetirementPlanning.com. And I cover all seven of the main areas, Phil, that people need to be aware of in this challenging environment to create a successful financial retirement plan, which I think most people can do. But what's worked in the past probably not going to work very well in the future, so people just have to understand how to handle that.
Well, and the information is so, so valuable for folks like me and other baby boomers who go, what am I supposed to do? And this will give you hopefully a roadmap and a lot of insight from the Mac Daddy Man, Jim Brogan, Brogan Financial. Give that web address, PellissippiRetirementPlanning.com, correct?
That's it. That's it, and it's the 24th and 31st, two-hour sessions. I've got more classes throughout the fall field. If people go to BroganFinancial.com and click on classes, we've got our full schedule up there.
Very good, my friend. Have a tremendous rest of the weekend, and we'll talk to you soon, Jim Brogan of Brogan Financial.